Hoi, 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 cheeky monkey.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. We're here to talk about Wolves 3, Arsenal 1. And that's proper pro of me. The fucking YouTube's playing in the background. Useless fucking shit already.
You've gone all Iwobi on us.
Sorry, listeners. I'm hosting. Jason isn't here. Because, quite frankly, Arsenal didn't play well enough, so they don't deserve him. And your performance last week, listeners, I say last week on the last radio show, just wasn't good enough. I can't even, I don't even know who was first in the box tonight. It's just all gone wrong. So I'll very quickly say hello to Tom from Norway, Rimri, Stephen Edwards, Standerman, Ben Murphy, Archie, NT35, Dan Fry, Chris Baird, Lostness, DRK Druid, who else is in there? Stephen Edwards, Pablo Amar, Mayank, Ahmed Hassan, J Rob, Ben Murphy, Sonam, Alonso, Alan Cracker, Stephen Selby, Ross Morgan, Daryl Kane, have I said everyone? Jesse Smith, probably missed a load of people, Anton Klein, still going. Anyway, thank you very much. And also a very quick thank you to J Rob, at least United losing, very true, and Yvonne as well. Top four gone, will lose in Europa League semis as well. Good night. Thank you both for your donations. That's not good night from me. Sadly, I've got to carry on. Also, hello, if you are not watching live and you are listening later and you have to suffer that part. Shall I introduce my guests? I guess I can. First, it's the idiot who makes this all happen. It's Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hello, John. Oh, I've said hello, John, to the host, and it's actually right.
Yeah, well done. I didn't say, say hello, Danny. So that's probably why.
Yeah.
See, look, I can't be bothered, listeners. I'm not even, no jokes tonight. Not doing the jokes. Fuck the jokes. Swearing already as well. That's demonetized. Unique79 with donation. Hopefully, Europa League and Mustafi isn't to blame. Thank you for the donation, Unique. We also have with us Josh. Say hello, Josh.
Hello, Josh. See, I'm here for comic relief.
Yeah, I inadvertently did the joke that time.
That's all right. That's the only reason you bring me on, right? These people look at, what's going on with Arsenal and say it could be worse, could be Josh.
That and, kitchen envy as well. Everyone's got kitchen envy.
Or your house could smell of poo because your mate's just been round, come in, giving you some money, had a poo and left.
I mean, to make it clear, he didn't pay to use Danny's toilet. That would be slightly odd. Dan Fry with the donation. Thanks for doing the show. Chin up, Gooners. Thank you very much, Dan. You do make it all easier for us. All you want. Right. This jumps straight into the show. Danny.
Yes.
What did you think of the lineup before the game?
Very good. I actually thought that was the correct lineup. Playing 4-4, 4-1, whatever it was. What do we call that? 4-2-3-1.
Yes.
That was the right. That was, for me, that is the best lineup to play. And to play at home, you play with a couple of strikers up front because we're better at home. This is a slightly more defensive formation because you've got four at the back and Monreal and Maitland-Niles aren't going to go wandering. And Koscielny and Sokratis are our two best central defenders, best goalkeeper. Torreira and Xhaka are our best two in midfield. The only addition that I would have made to that was Ramsey rather than Ozil, but he's injured, he can't. So almost perfect, that lineup.
Yeah. Josh, I just want to ask you quickly. We've gone to a back four, which we've done a couple of times away from home, and it's worked quite well. Although I think we look most comfortable when we're playing a back three. Do you think he's played this tonight for a tactical reason, or do you think it's a case of he doesn't want to play Mustafi after the stick he got from the last game and he's kind of lost a little bit of faith with Mavropanos?
I think Mavropanos is still coming back to fitness, so I think it's understandable that he doesn't necessarily get, an automatic start in here. And Sokratis is back. And arguably, across the season, the number of central defenders we've had, he's probably the best of a bad bunch. Him and Koscielny probably on equal standing in that kind of how good they've been this season for us. So understandable that if we're going to go two at the back, those are the two that come in. Interesting to see Maitland-Niles play right back. Kolasinac, I think, understandably coming out as well. Fundamentally, the team we put out should beat Wolves. I think the issue, and we'll come to it in a bit, was how we got that 11 to perform against them.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we'll go into it and go into Wolves' record. Danny and I did it in the preview. Did we do the preview for that or did we do the preview for Watford? I forgot.
If I did a Wolves preview of you, then that's dodgy. No, I didn't do the preview because I got up late.
Well, I'm sure we've talked about Wolves, but there are, in terms of the teams that have beaten them and the teams that they've beaten at home, there's a definite link in terms of where the possession lies. And we got that wrong today. Yeah. So I think that goes down to the manager as well as the players.
Well, I mean, sticking with you, Josh, just jumping into the game itself, we actually started the game quite well, I thought. Lots of possession again, which we did see against Everton. I felt the first 10 minutes it was a bit brighter though than the Everton game. But again, struggled to really create. We didn't test Rui Patricio at all. And I don't know, just the pace of our play seems slow yet again.
Yeah, it's really odd, that first 10 minutes. It looked like, okay, we could actually play Wolves off the park for this. You know, we're looking quite good in possession. And when Wolves are trying to break, we're smothering it quickly because they've got one of the best counterattacks outside of not even just the top six. You know, you could argue that, you know, Liverpool's probably got the best counterattack. And then it's City and Wolves, to be honest. They're on equal par. City don't counterattack that often. So it's kind of difficult to judge in terms of their, but their attacking talent is obviously a lot better. But Wolves are a great counter-attacking team. And the way we were smothering it quickly, or they just weren't being able to string their passes together, looked like we were going to have a good game, really. The fact that we weren't necessarily connecting those passes in the first 10 minutes, you can kind of put, well, it's the first 10 minutes in an away game. We're generally not that great away from home. We'll take it. Eventually, these will slowly start coming together. You know, we'll get the players in. But as the game went on, yeah, we kind of go into that next section of where Wolves started to click.
Yeah, and Danny, we saw that in the game that as it went on, that Wolves looked more and more comfortable despite the fact we had so much possession. And they started to break a couple of times, particularly it was Johnny down the left and linking up really well with Diogo Jota. And they started to, a few times, just get good runs on us. And we couldn't seem to cope with any run from our outside back into the centre. Johnny did it a few times and Jota as well, and we just weren't picking them up.
Yeah, the one time we tried it, Mkhitaryan got shoved all over the place, didn't he? And I think that's at the point of the game where Mkhitaryan went, I'm not doing this anymore. But from early on, you could see that that Wolves had a plan and they were just feeling us out a little bit, going, oh, is this going to work? Is that going to work? And then we realised, well, this is going to work. That's what they kept doing. Let us have the ball for as long as we want. I mean, at one point in the second half, I think Guendouzi must have had the ball to and back from him about 15 times in one set of passing movement. And then, like you were saying, then they get the ball, bang, down the left-hand side, gone. And then never chance. Here, you lot have the ball for 5 or 6 minutes, pass it around amongst yourselves. We're going to give you no space. If you try and do a long-reaching ball, we're going to intercept it. And then when we did manage to get a pass more than about 6 foot away, it would hit our player and bounce off again. And so then, like you're saying, straight down the wings again every single time. They had unbelievable pace. And Monreal, he's just looking worse and worse as the games go on because he had such a magnificent season last season. He looked knackered. Maitland-Niles looked confused at times because that just shows he is not a right back or a right wing back or any of that lot. He's a right midfielder. And to put this kind of pressure on the poor boy, I think that's the 70th game about roughly that he's played for us now. And I don't know how many of those games he's actually played in his right position and constantly doing stuff like that. I know it's given experience to him, but it's not the kind of experience that he needs, is he? Someone on Twitter, just Arrakis_89, has said, so when is a Del Piero Wonderland starting asking for a lot of friends?
me, Jason, Dom, and I think there might be some more joining us very soon. Richard Morris with the donation. Oh, my God. Thank you very much. I also loving the fact that it's got 99. It's not a nice round number because that winds up Danny, of course.
I would say, Danny, as well, on the thing you're saying with that defence, it looked like, and I don't know, John, if you'd agree, that Maitland-Niles and Monreal was kind of slotted into a back three when we were defending. We were incredibly narrow.
Yeah, it was weird because, I mean, Monreal was obviously going to be much more comfortable in a back four than Maitland-Niles is. I think the difference from playing as a regular fullback to a wing back, especially to someone who never really played it in their career, is so vast. I think it's kind of underrated. And Maitland-Niles did not look comfortable right back tonight against the, you know, let's be fair, like Wolves are no mugs. They're in the position they're in for a reason, and they play their system down to a T. Very, very well. It's something I want to get onto later, actually. But we just had no cover in the wide areas. And I don't think either Monreal or Maitland-Niles in particular, really didn't get any help in front of him from Mkhitaryan tonight. I really thought he was completely absent. There are a few goals to talk about tonight, so let's jump into the first one. It's a good run from, was it Jota, I think? I can't remember now who made the run. For them, but first of all, was it a foul, do you think, Josh?
Or it's a really irritating one because he clatters into the back of Monreal's legs, right? As Monreal's going past him, has already missed him because Jota's done him with his instep, and then goes into one of his trailing legs as Monreal's running past. He's not going to try and recover to it, and it's just irritating, isn't it? Because you can kind of see why it's a foul. But Monreal's not trying to play the ball, and he's not trying to play the man either. It's one of those that if you get, you don't question it if it goes for your team.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? Right.
Yeah. I mean, I did see some people had some issues with whether it was a foul or not, and whether it should have been a free kick. What I would say is, we shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. The amount of times we let Jota run at us and run at our defence and basically get to the edge of our 18-yard box was ridiculous.
It was the run beforehand, and I can't think who carried it.
It might have been Johnny who carried it from like halfway or something like that, wasn't it? And as he laid it off.
That was the main issue because he was surrounded by four players, and you can kind of see what we're doing. You know, you've got four players around one guy. His then ability to flip it out to the spare man has got to be good.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, amount of, the window for error is huge at that point. Mm. And he does great to knock it into Jota's path, who then does Monreal, all ends up. And yeah, Captain Hindsight comes in and someone wipes him out earlier in the move. But we'd then be crying and going, why are you giving away a stupid foul? He's got four players around him when he's making that break. So
yeah,
it's just irritating. And then, when Neves takes the free kick, it's a moment of, you know, individual brilliance, to be fair.
Yeah. Danny, you know, I don't watch a ton of Premier League football other than really Arsenal. I do, you know, I catch the highlights, but I don't generally watch the other games most of the time. I've seen a bit of Wolves. And the one thing I've learned from watching any Wolves game this season is I do not, you know, you don't give away free kicks on the edge of the box because Wolves have Ruben Neves.
Yeah, he scored 9 out of his 11 goals have been outside of the box this season or some stat like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. And then the commentators are going, look where he's putting it. He's probably going to score from this. And everyone's going, yeah, he's probably going to score from this. And the wall are going, he's probably going to score from this. And Leno's going, whoa, he's probably going to score from this. And he fucking scored. It's like no one fucking knew about it. And the wall jumped up. And I was looking at the wall and I'm thinking, one of you fuckers is going to turn your back and it's going to go fucking past you. And I'm sure it was Xhaka. Jumped up, leant his head over to one side as he turned out the way. Ball went straight past. He's probably got glue ear now or something from that ball going so fast past his ear. If he'd have jumped up like a man and taken it square in the face and knocked himself unconscious, that ball wouldn't have gone in. So it's all Xhaka's fault, wherever the one that his head it nearly missed. And he was taking a piss. He put the ball over our tallest player's head, the one who jumped the most. It's not like he put it over Taraya's head. Well, my mum could curl a free kick over Taraya's head into the back of the net. Those fucking idiots. The commentators are saying he's going to fucking do it. We all know he's doing it. He's been doing it all fucking season, you dickheads. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Just went, I know, I know. I looked at my cat and my cat just went, yeah, I know. My cat wasn't even looking at the fucking telly. Cunts. Fucking hell. He's good though, isn't he?
He's a very good player. He's great technique. Just very quickly before carry on with the Neves talk. Richard Morris, this is my IOU from the Crystal Palace game. Richard, you never owe us an IOU. Owe us an IOU? Yeah, you know what I mean. But thank you very much. Blair Slater, I'm a sad Slater out. That's a sad. See, normally he keeps it. It's always Slater out regardless. But Arsenal have crushed him. They've made him change his message.
He did that on the last one because I mentioned it on the podcast last night. Because everybody who donates, I always give you the gentleman's nod from the podcast. I read out an entire list of names last night, and with Blair Slater, as I put, and all Blair put was Blair out. I'm Slater out. Yeah. All Blair Slater out. It was brilliant. Cheers, you two.
And also a big thank you to Ryan Rundle as well. Well done, lads. Thank you so much for the donation. Honestly, it means a lot to us. I mean, again, it's don't give away free kicks. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Don't give away, you know, cheap free kicks. But the fact that Johnny gets to run, it's probably 20, maybe 30 yards with the ball just unchallenged and gets into that position and then they win the free kick. And yeah, I think Danny's right. Xhaka does turn his head. I don't think he's the only one in that wall who turns his head. I'd have to see it again to see exactly who it is, if it is one person moves their head slightly out of the way. But I've got no blame for Leno there. It's great technique. The issue I have with it, Josh, is that we've had, up to that point, 70-something percent possession. We haven't had a shot on goal yet. And that is Wolves' first attempt of the game.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I don't know really what to say. It's one of those that we were lacking. You know, we've become, and I think one of the great things was that I've seen on Twitter, some of the comments, we've become a team of cutbacks. And we didn't have a midfield runner coming into the box, because you kind of saw it with Ozil. Every single pass, when he did get it out wide, he was cutting it back into the position that, you know, it was that Ramsey position, and he wasn't there. And Torreira wasn't making that move because, you know, it's not Torreira's role. Xhaka's not making that move because, again, it's not Xhaka's role. The player you have in your side that should be making that run is whoever is at number 10. And because they weren't there, and Laka was doing arguably in the correct position, he's on the last man in that defence, we just couldn't get a shot away at all. And as you say, if we didn't give away the free kick, I don't think Wolves are still breaking us down and getting a shot away until they had that opportunity. Because as soon as we gave that goal away, we then had to open up even more. And we just lost our discipline at that point. And Wolves kind of got, you know, we played into their hands perfectly because Wolves have already got an early goal. We're going to have to start attacking them. There's going to be more spaces. We're going to get more ragged. And Wolves have also got their confidence up because they've just scored. So they're going to be able to pass it round. Their passing was crisper. They were playing through with that extra space. And that's where that kind of first half deteriorated for us.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, as soon as that ball was sat down for free kick and never stepped up, you just knew it was going in. And it was just sort of, this again, away form. Dom Lloyd, thank you very much for the donation. Hello, Dom, he says. Would love to make a guest appearance on here one day. Thanks for consistently turning up, guys. Makes it more bearable. Thank you for consistently listening. That goes for all of you, but especially Dom. Thank you very much.
Got a message here from Ben Murphy. It says, beards rule. Mine's ginger, but that's okay, as gingers have souls. That's what we tell Josh every day.
No, we don't. We don't have souls.
Yeah, we tell Josh that gingers don't have souls, but there you go.
Oh, no, we don't. That face is, that space inside us is just filled with bitterness and anger.
Except for you, Ben. Yours is filled with love.
It's because he stole it off someone else. He murdered someone and stole their soul.
Okay, so we'll carry on into the game then after that goal. We can see that goal. Wolves start pressuring us more. They start breaking us more. Again, left-hand side for Wolves. Like, they're getting a lot of joy. Then we see a lovely bit of skill from Lacazette. It's probably his one highlight of the game, followed by something he probably doesn't want to see, Danny. He beats two players. He muscles off Willy Bolly, which always makes me think of the song Woolly Bully whenever I hear his name. It's terrible, I know. Then he beats Jota, I think. No, is it Jota? No, Johnny, with a little, just knocks it around him. Lovely bit of skill, beats two players, and then skies a shot out the stadium. It kind of summed up his evening a little bit. I felt a bit sorry for Lacazette tonight because he didn't get any service whatsoever, did he?
His service was about as good as the service that I had at the that place in Peterborough I went for dinner on last week. It was absolutely atrocious, and when it turned up, it was poo. Was this before or after the penalty appeal?
This was... I'm looking... I've got notes and everything, people. I did notes. No, penalty appeal was second half.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember that bit because I actually sat, I put my glasses on, I sat in front of the telly and I had a good look and I watched it all. And oh, lovely. And I'm watching the replay because I'm watching, looking at your waveforms typing. So I've just seen you wave your book. Yeah, so did think like that. He's going to have to be annoyed with himself because the last two games, last game, he had zero shots on target and Aubameyang had one. This game, we had one shot on target for the entire game. And who had that one shot on target, I wonder? It was Socrates with a goal. Oh, yeah, because they had three and scored three. We had one and scored one. So Lacazette has now gone two games without a single shot on target. And so by skying it like that, he's got to be so angry with himself because there's so few chances that he is getting. I've said for ages that Ramsey isn't a 10, but Ramsey is a better 10 than Ozil is. I mean, I noticed at the beginning of the first half, Ozil was actually quite getting involved when Ashley made a run down to say it down the right hand side and he was down near the corner flag. Ozil drifted over and covered that kind of right wing back kind of area and he was hovering around there. And then even when Ashley made a move into the box, Ozil still stayed there. And I thought, oh, Ozil's going to have a good game today. He's taking note of play. Didn't take long before the head was down from both of those two. And if you don't feed the goat won't score. And no one is feeding the goat. And I saw a thing with Sean Goat on earlier. So if our strikers, I mean, it's even worse than our strikers not getting chances. Ozil isn't even being given the ball by the midfield or anyone else to then feed Lacazette for Lacazette to have a chance. Yeah. So it goes all the way back. No one, I mean, our winger, Mkhitaryan, should have come off after about 20 minutes. But
Who's Mkhitaryan?
He's
a Scottish brother.
Because of Brexit, he's had to become Scottish.
Jesus Christ. For any new listeners, Danny does know the player's real name. Danny does know Ainsley Maitland-Niles is called Ainsley, not Ashley, but he just likes to wind up.
It's like Iwobi's now Iwobi because he's had to become Irish because of Brexit. So at least our count for British players next season is going to...
Danny, stop waffling. Grab those questions in the chat box for me.
Yeah, especially, stop waffling, especially as Iwobi is already homegrown. Doesn't need to be Irish.
Josh, I'm going to come to you on the second, just before we get to the second goal. Wald, again, break. Again, it's Jota and Johnny getting in down the left-hand side. Leno produces a really good save. I'm not sure how much he knows about it, but he's in the right place at the right time. Perhaps not so good for the second goal, though. And it's not just Leno, it's the whole defence, isn't it? Talk me through that Doherty goal.
Yeah, it's the resulting corner, I believe. It's a short one. And then the second issue is, who's playing the ball in? It's their 19. Is it Jimenez plays the ball in?
It's Jota.
Jota plays the ball in. And it's just a deep one from the cross. One of the biggest issues is no one's come out to... Only one person's come out to meet the short corner. And you really need a second one because it was then a 2-1. I'm going to say it because he's in shot when the ball's played in. It's Mesut Ozil. It's the closest player to him from that side. It's one of those things that we'll get onto it later in the show about what I thought about Mesut Ozil's performance. It's slightly different to Danny's. Ball goes in and we get the offside trap wrong. You know, that offside trap that actually has probably been one of the redeeming features of our defence this season.
Yeah.
We have been able to catch the defence offside. That might be the only good thing our defence can do. And even with Mustafi in it, we've managed to consistently catch people offside. And Socrates doesn't get out quick enough. And it's then, the header's then won by Doherty. But at the same time, the spirit of Jerry Payton and Almunia and David De Gea and Taibbi, name any terrible goalkeeper at commanding his box, flies out and just completely misses it. And it's really irritating because I criticised Leno last week of the last game with that kind of Mustafi incident that I thought he should have come out quicker for that and not stayed on his line. It's the one time if he stays in his line, that goes straight into his hands because that header's not a good header. It's straight down the throat of the goal and he can just catch that. So it's those kind of two errors that, you know, it's just simple kind of stuff. And you've got the two players in our defence that you would say have been great this season. As I said it earlier, you know, Koscielny, Socrates, you can definitely add Leno in as being a top performer for us this season. and he just does a mistake. And it's just irritating to see that from players we know can be so much better, especially as they're two fresh players into this side. You know how we've said it takes you a couple of years to kind of lose all of your defensive ability when you come to Arsenal and you go into the Arsenal defence under Wenger. You thought they might have learnt something and been able to be a bit better in that situation. But yeah, it's just those two mistakes kind of compound on each other. You know, if Doherty does get to the free header, there is a chance Leno misses it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if he just stays on his line, he's got a lot better opportunity with the reaction save to get to that. And yeah, it's between those two guys. And again, not stopping the ball at source and not getting out quick enough to make that ball in more difficult for Jota, because he's given the freedom of Wolverhampton by our players.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good free kick, corners. You know, it's clearly something they work on. You can see from all the corners they took tonight, they all got different routines. Some they take short, some they do play into the box. They've got very clear setups on them. They're a really well-organised team, Wolves. But yeah, offside trap didn't work. I think Leno, you know, shouldn't be where he is. Maybe you can argue he's come out because the defence hasn't tracked it and he's seen, oh no, no one's going with the Wolves players. He's trying to react. But it's just a great ball in, and, you know, and Doherty does his best and gets his head on it. And to be fair, 2-0 was a pretty fair scoreline at that point. If anything, you know, Wolves had had a few chances. I don't want to rain on Leno tonight, but unfortunately we are going to have to, because Daniel jumped to the third goal. Josh has already described that the second one quite well, I thought, in the fact that it wasn't, you know, just the offside trap not working or just Leno. It's a combination. I kind of felt like the third goal was the same thing again here. Misplaced passed. Runner with the ball, no one really puts a challenge in, and Leno gets a hand to it but not strong enough.
Yeah, that's the one where he went from Leno's near post, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was I think it was Maitland-Niles. I think one of the other defenders came across as well, and the bloke managed to get past both, and I thought, well, eventually one of them's going to foul him or he's going to push the ball out to play, and he kept going and kept going. He thought, fucking, this bloke has got a mean left foot on him. And I thought, he's not going to try and take a shot from there. But you're 2-0 up at home. You're playing against a team that obviously have no idea what they're doing. You might as well have a pot shot like they did in other points of the game. Had a pot shot on target, straight in. You think, fucking hell, brilliant. Well done. If I'd have been a Wolves fan, I'd have been over the moon. I once went to Wolves. Dennis Bergkamp in the testimonial was there. Brilliant. Nice ground, nice place. They're probably my favourite of all the Birmingham and surrounding area teams. So good luck to them. It's nice to see a new team come up, play good football. And I was trying to think one of the main reasons why they've been rubbish recently with their FA Cup run, getting in the league. And then it's just the age-old thing. If you're playing Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, or probably just those three, because historically they're the three biggest teams in the league that haven't gone and bought it or not won anything since the black and white days, that everyone's going to up their game against it. They're going to play in Arsenal tonight, we're going to be up for it. The crowd, this is the biggest crowd of their home crowd of the season. So the crowd are up for it, the players are up for it, their manager was really, really up for it. And just, I don't know what I'm going to put it down to, whether it's so many games in such a short length of time. I was thinking beginning of the season, come on, we want football, give us football. What do? Get one game a week. Now we're getting a game every two or three days. I just think it's just a cumulative effect of everything. And Wolves were there and they were up for it. And with those quick players, they're just so impressive. When we play, we should have learned this when we played them at home. Did we draw against them at the Emirates?
Yeah.
They were magnificent. But I remember I've been really, really impressed by that Traore bloke. And then they said it's just their version of Theo Walcott, really, really quick, but then does nothing with the end ball. But he's just so many clever players that are so gifted with the ball and turned it inside out. And they switched off after half time, didn't they? I mean, if they would have wanted, like you put in the WhatsApp, John, it should be great if it weren't 5-0.
Yeah. I mean, Josh, just dipping back into that Jota goal. I mean, I think he deserved it for his performance on the night. I certainly Wolves fan would think so, because I thought he was excellent for him. But again, people are going to look at Leno because he gets his hand to it and should save it. You know, it's not like it's far away from him. He should at least be, you know, pushing it out of the box. But you've got a really lazy kind of misplaced pass from Xhaka that puts Mkhitaryan into trouble when Jota picks the ball up. Then Sokratis comes across, half-hearted tackle attempt that he doesn't really make. You know, he could take a foul there, maybe take a booking, whatever, and he gets the shot away. Again, it's not just one individual error. It's two, three individual errors, and it just, again, it costs us.
Yeah, agree. It's that kind of lax or almost forcing the play. Again, 2-0 down, we saw it and kind of said it at 1-0 that we needed to push forward. So we're trying to force the play at 2-0. We're like, right, we've really got to get this in. And we're just completely losing our heads and trying to chase something when really we should kind of relax, slowly get about our game. It's something we're kind of missing in this squad. I don't know. It was a question that, I'm sure we'll go on to it. It's just, what's wrong with the mentality of this side? And where has it all begun? And how do we fix it? But yeah, with the goal, I don't know what Socrates is thinking. He wasn't on a yellow at the time, was he? I don't think he picked up a booking.
No, he hadn't. He didn't pick up a booking all game. No, no.
And the only thing I can think in his mind is he thinks he's the last offender. So doesn't want to completely wipe him out because he'll get a red. That's the only thing I can think in his mind because he gets basically nutmegged.
Yeah, I mean, he sort of steps across and then just pulls away from the challenge at the last second. Yeah. It was very odd. I mean, the misplaced pass from Xhaka, like the sort of the lazy pass to Mkhitaryan, really doesn't help.
No, I think all of our passing from all of our players was lazy. There wasn't a single ball played, even though we completed passes. They weren't to the correct area of the person's foot. So it was even brought up on TSN, was where I was watching it. And they picked up on Ozil's passing, that every time he passed it back to Xhaka, the ball was behind Xhaka and just completely killed the impetus we had in any move. If it's played in front of him, he can step onto it and drive us forward. But I think that came across from every player. I'm not singling out Ozil for that passing because we're just pointing out Xhaka again, couldn't play that pass in. But I think it was an issue we had across the side. The passing, although we were completing them, wasn't a good pass.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to say as well, you know, give Wolves credit because in that first half in particular, I think Danny's right, they did switch off a little bit in the second half, but they were, you know, any loose ball, they were the first. They were first to it, 50-50s, they were to it as well. And, you know, they were quite happy to let us have the ball. They really didn't bother them at all. They're very, very good defensively. They work their system brilliantly. They really know it inside and out. And we didn't make Patricio make a save that entire first half. So, that is half-time, guys, because the third goal went in, I'm just looking now, bang on, just at the end of the first half to make it 3-0, which was shit. Now, I'm not sure. This is like, if you're not watching live and you're listening later, just like skip ahead like 2 minutes because otherwise you get bored of this bit. I've only got 54 likes and there's over 250 of you watching. What the fuck are you doing? This is why Jason isn't on tonight. He's had enough. He can't even be bothered to come on anymore and give you shit. That's how much you've disappointed him. You are literally worse than the Arsenal defence. I haven't even got the effort to be mad. I can't even be bothered. But, lights, come on. Let's get them up. Let's get it sorted, seriously. Otherwise, I make Danny do a Welsh accent and it's 10 times worse than mine. I promise you. Right. I'm looking at my notes here. This will make you laugh. Anyone who's not watching live, you can come back and listen now. Unless, of course, you didn't hear that, then you didn't know I said it. So it doesn't fucking matter. I'm just waffling bollocks. Half-time notes, it says 72% possession, 3-0 down. Thumbs up. He's got two thumbs up and likes to get fucked, this guy. Oh, and I just hit my microphone as well, so I hope you all enjoyed that. Second half, Danny. First note, it says, lots of possession, no attempts on goal.
Yeah, that sums it up. I'm just looking at that one stat, my favourite stat from the game. Passes, 199 for them, 561 for us. Most of that was Guendouzi in the second half. No shots, just nothing, just absolutely nothing. We were, and like Josh was saying, I think we were scared that if we push too far forward, then they're going to get the ball. And then every time this did happen, every time we did it, they got the ball, they ran away with the ball, and they could have had 4, 5, 6 goals. I mean, Leno just got the worst rating of the game. We got an Opta rating of 4.5 with a big E next to his name. don't know if that's suggesting that maybe he needs to take some alternative medication or whether it just means he made an error. Either way, he should try both.
I think it means euthanize.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm not blaming Leno. I'm not blaming Leno at all, because if they're going to, things like that, you can very rarely blame a goalkeeper for a free kick. So I'm not angry with Leno. I'm just disappointed. But if they're just going to continuously do that, I was counting and I thought, I've must got up to about 25 a couple of times. Like I said earlier, Guendouzi, Xhaka, sideways. It was like attack of the cramps on it. It's like we had playing with 11 Ray Wilkins. Just crabs everywhere. You can only go sideways or go backwards. And then they go, oh, we're going to try it again. And then they'd corner us in. And then we pass it back again. You're thinking, is there nobody on there that is going to make a run with the ball? Don't keep passing the ball. Make a run with the ball. Try and give it to Ozil, who then's going to open up play. But Iwobi had a terrible game. It just shows yet again that Iwobi should only come on as a substitute, because that enthusiasm and that burst of pace and the brains that he has to make the most of players when they're flagging and they say, oh, fuck, Iwobi's coming on. We've been running around like blue-ass flies for the last hour or however long it is when Emery wants to bring him on, because Iwobi is so good at that. He reads the game so well for what he needs to do to make an end product for other people, not necessarily himself. Like we said on the show last night, 145 games, 14 goals, I think it is, some number like that, which is that's an awful amount of time that he's been there. And he's our sixth most experienced Arsenal playing player in the squad. So it's just really hard, because if you're not going to make the chances to score goals, you ain't going to score no goals. You can't shout at the chef for not making dinner if you haven't served him up any food to go and make your dinner with, can you? It's not going to work.
What an analogy. Amazing. Yeah.
It's only because I've been living on big soup and tuna for the last 3 days. I'm so hungry. And water. All I've had to eat for 3 days is water.
I'll turn it in. Stefan Selby makes a good point. All very predictable and easy to defend, which I think is right. And formerly knows they're also sums up lovely. Danielson to Aboué, Aboué to Danielson.
That's perfect.
It is a little bit like that. Josh, the one thing of note I would say from that, though, from the half time, is that we didn't make any substitutions at half time. This is kind of the thing we've expected Emery to do, because, you know, especially in games where we're struggling, and let's be fair, we were losing 3-0 at this point, he didn't make a sub or change it at all. Were you surprised? Because I thought he was definitely going to, you know, switch something up at half time.
Yeah, not as surprised as I've just seen someone coming into the box. Hi, Chris. Chris Carpenter's there.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Hello. There's a pirate in the box.
Hello.
If the pirate appearing in the box doesn't get me at least another 10 more likes, I say 10 more, I actually want 23 more because I want to get to 100. So don't do it for the Carpenter. Do it for me just to annoy him. There you go. There's your motivation. Sorry. Go on, Josh.
Sorry, where were we?
Substitutions.
Yeah, I think I did say that is the 45th minute substitution under Emery, the new 60th minute substitution under Wenger. And a stat came out, we have made 25 substitutions at halftime in the league this season. And we've played, 34 games?
Yeah,
so it's almost one a game. I know some of them have been doubles, but, you know, that's what averages are for. It's almost one a game. So it was odd, but to be honest, I think that was the best side that we could have put out. There wasn't anything wrong with the personnel choices. It was what the personnel were doing. And it's one of those things that now we're 3-0 down, there's not a huge amount we can do. We've got to hit him on the front foot.
Yeah.
So it's one of those that you kind of pull it back. You know, if it was starting again and it was the beginning of the game, I would have sat and gone, right, Emery, Wolves, how have they lost games when they've had the ball? You know, they've the only team that in the top six that's really beaten them home and away is Liverpool. Everyone else has dropped points to them.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, they lost both games to Huddersfield. Brighton at the weekend, they conceded, I think it was 40 shots.
You don't want to feel better, Josh.
I know. Just to be fair, it was 0-0. They didn't concede.
I mean, but you're still not making everyone feel better.
It's true. So that's what we should have done anyway. We should have just sat back and let Wolves have possession. But yeah, then we've just got to kind of push forward. And I think the players that we had there, you know, you got Mesut Ozil there, who is lauded as one of the most creative players the Premier League has seen in the past decade. And stats tell you that, that he is the most, he creates the most chances. And he's not able to get in the game. He is standing in places where he's being marked, or he's drifting out wide into a place where he shouldn't be. And the rest of our players, there's kind of two ways to look at this. Either Ozil isn't good enough for Arsenal, or Arsenal aren't good enough for Ozil. Ozil needs better players around him, someone that's intelligent enough that if Ozil goes out wide, that someone slots in and comes, you know, switches places. So if he goes out wide, Iwobi goes into the middle and takes up the same positions, because it was the main thing we were missing. And he's not going to drag you back into the game. There's a big difference between him and Alexis, because Alexis would drag you back into a game. Ozil still is creative, but still needs better players around him in order to do that. He's not a one-man team.
Yeah,
and this was probably the poorest game I've seen him play for us in an Arsenal shirt.
For him, though, isn't it? I mean, at one point, even Lacazette was running back to get the ball, and he was getting angry. They were both just looked like they'd been slapped with a wet fish. They just like arms down by the side, head down. And you think, well, game's over then, because if you're the two players that you're going to rely on to try and get you a goal are doing that, then.
But Lacazette was at no fault for trying.
Whereas
Ozil in the different thing, and this isn't a demeanor thing, this was just the positions he was taking up in the field. No one could pass him the ball because he's standing between four Wolves players.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half he was always available, but I thought in the second half as the game drifted, his head dropped, and you could see him getting annoyed at decision from the referee, you know, not putting in challenges, like half-hearted running back and stuff like that. And again, I'm not trying to pick out Ozil, because there's a lot of other players who I'm going to give some shit to as well. One of them is a player I really like, Lucas Torreira, who came off. We saw a double substitution. Kolasinac came on for Mkhitaryan and Guendouzi on for Torreira. We changed the system. We go to a back three. We've got our wing backs. Immediately, Maitland-Niles looks more comfortable. We have the threat on the other side from Kolasinac. And Guendouzi, who had been dreadful in the last couple of games, I think it's fair to say, looked really good, Danny. He was quicker with the ball. He was trying to get it forwards. Again, we weren't marvellous, don't get me wrong, but he was trying to make things happen. Whereas I thought Torreira tonight was really off his game, and he spent a lot of the time on the floor. I know he got fouled once or twice, but I'm not sure if he's either fully fit or maybe he just got a little bit bullied tonight by the Wolves midfield.
Are we going to cover the Torreira's should have been a straight red? Is that coming up?
For him?
Yeah.
I mean, no one needs that extra misery, but we might go into it later.
Okay, but yeah. That just showed how angry he was with what was going on. He was a little man. I think they were picking on him, pushing him around. And he could see things weren't working the way that he wanted them to work, which is, I mean, what are you going to do? And there was something else you said that made me think of something. Guendouzi, yeah. It was really good to see him, because he was, like I said earlier, when all the passing was going on, it was Guendouzi, someone else, blah, blah, rewind, listen to what I said.
Yeah.
And Guendouzi was the centre of everything. And you thought, mate, if you could learn to pass forward, if you could learn to get the ball to another player, then you'd be brilliant, because they were piling all the pressure on a 19-year-old to be the one that's going to make the breakthrough ball. You're trying to make a breakthrough ball for the striker or the winger to come in and do something. They were so defensive, close defensive marking on us. We were trying to make a breakthrough ball to Ozil, who is the one who then makes the breakthrough ball to the person going to score the goal, be it Aubameyang or Lacazette, as it was tonight, just Lacazette. And then poor old Guendouzi, he's running around like a blue-ass fly, trying to, I'll pass it here, there's someone there, I'll pass it here. And occasionally, when he did try and do a longer pass of more than about a couple of metres, it'd bounce off one of our players, or it'd be intercepted because our players weren't keeping of note of what was going on. And they were so lackadaisical with receiving the ball. And you must have thought, Guendouzi's thinking, oh, what else? I'm the youngest player on this pitch. This is my first season in the Premier League. First season playing top flight football. He played a little bit of top flight football when he was at Lorient before they got mercilessly relegated back to League on Doug, where they belong, and they're not coming back up again this season. poor bloke, but that just shows that even though things were bad, that Emery has enough confidence in Guendouzi to bring him on and let him try and make a difference. And he tried his heart out, and you can't ask for any more than trying. I mean, you can grumble, but I'm not here to grumble.
Yeah, we did score a goal. Socrates scored a goal. Yay, thumbs up. Well done, Greek boy. I say Greek boy, Greek man, can't really call him a boy. Really nice corner from Xhaka, great delivery in, good header, wins the challenge. Patricio should probably come for it and do a bit better for Wolves. They'll be disappointed with that. I don't want to talk about our goal because
comeback was on, John. Comeback was on.
Yeah, Josh put in our WhatsApp, the comeback is on. I had very little faith in that. I laughed. Carl was not impressed. But that's all I'm going to say about our goal, because to be perfectly honest, we don't deserve to. I don't think we really deserve one at all. One thing I will say, Josh, and Danny sort of highlighted it there, Guendouzi, when he came on, he was trying to get on the ball and trying to make things happen, which I don't think, although Torreira maybe, you know, was trying, I thought he was very poor tonight, and Xhaka as well. The pair of them in midfield, just for whatever reason, didn't work tonight. One sub who I thought is probably our only highlight of the game was Eddie Nketiah, who, when he came on, we finally had someone actually up front moving, so the midfield had someone to try and pass to. Because I think Lacazette on his own against the back three, he's just going to get no joy, and he needed that extra help tonight, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that's Eddie coming on was lesser damning indictment of Lacazette's game. It's more of a damning indictment of the support Lacazette had with the supporting runs. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you say, with Guendouzi, one of the players trying to make things happen, I think we did have some players that, other than Guendouzi, that tried to make things happen. I think, although they weren't necessarily coming off, I thought when Iwobi was trying things, they were mostly going out for corners, which, to be fair to him, normally when he's doing that, he's normally struggled something and we turned over possession, or he's played a horrible cross in. At least we're getting something tangible out of his, you know, his result. He's trying to play a ball in, but at least we're getting a corner out of it. We can do something with it. And ultimately we did score our goal from a corner. But as you say, with Eddie coming on, it was that kind of pace and that proper supporting run into Lacazette. Because I think we've got a lot of players at the moment, that kind of three behind him, none of them really want to score a goal, to be honest, do they?
None of them want to run beyond
the game. They all want to create. They all want to sit there. None of them got that hunger. Like Ozil's always said, you know, it's one of the detriments to his game is he always wants to find the assists. He doesn't have an eye for goal. He doesn't want to go. I know he scored at the weekend.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of thing that he's got that he just doesn't want to. He doesn't seek it out naturally. And I think we've got the same with Mkhitaryan. He doesn't necessarily seek out the goal. But then when we bring on that player in Nketiah, you know he wants to score and you know he wants to support. And it's also that thing that he's also playing for his position, isn't he, really, for next season? I know it's that kind of have a good couple of a final run in. You know what? It might not be silly to say he might start in a two at some point at the back end of this season now, depending on how we're doing in Europa.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, Michael Hanneman's put it in the chat, I feel sorry for Nketiah. The only time he gets any game action is when we're already getting battered. And it did kind of feel like it was a bit of a token gesture when he first was subbed on. But then when I looked at what else we had on the bench, it was really our only other attacking option. And I think it worked. I think it did actually, you know, we improved up front. You know, we started to at least open up Wolves a little bit. There is the natural thing of, you know, at that point it's 3-1, there's, you know, 10 minutes left. They're going to be a little bit nervous, and they were for a few minutes. But I thought it was a good little cameo from him tonight.
Yeah, and to be honest, the player that would have probably come on in his stead would have been Denis Suarez if he was available. That's the player that we've seen get those minutes.
Who's that? Sunday. Luis Suarez?
Yeah, that's the one.
Never heard of either of them. You know, it's Kim Kalstrom all over again, isn't it? Absolute disaster.
The Spanish seat warmer.
if he does, was it the semi final? Kalstrom scored a penalty in.
Yeah
it was.
I'm just saying, semi final Europa League coming up.
Cheeky.
just going to put it out there. If you do that, Dennis, you'll be a hero in some fans' eyes. Yeah, I mean, that's basically the game, guys. There's not a whole lot more to say about it. Oh, what I will say is, well done, Wolves. Thoroughly deserved. And to be perfectly honest, you probably should have kept a clean sheet, and you probably should have beat us at least 5-0, to be perfectly honest, if it weren't for Jimenez. And I think Johnny had a good chance, and Jota again as well. Otherwise, you know, it would have been a lot worse for us. But yeah, getting the goal back helps our goal difference a little bit. Could have been worse tonight. Still pretty bad. So yeah, if you have questions, chat box, please do fire away. We've already grabbed some, and we will get to your questions. We're almost at 100 likes, people. You're very close. You've almost made me happy.
Really?
Like, honestly, you have no idea how hard it is to please me. Ask the account in the chat. John Welsh gave me crabs.
Ask them. There.
Yeah, yeah. Ask them how hard it is for me to be happy, because you know I'm a very hard man to please. But come on, you can get me to 100 likes. Tickle that thumb.
If nothing else, just for Eddie Nketiah, for how magnificent he was. He's what is he, four? He's, even Chris is taller than Nketiah, and Nketiah was magnificent. And that when he got pulled over, and he just looked at the lights and went, "Oh, but police, sir, I've been bullied." Oh, Eddie's he scored two goals for the under 23s away at Chelsea. We beat them 3-1 in the under 23s midweek. What a player! I mean, he gets chances. It's fact, I'd rather have been played the entire game than Ozil at times.
Yeah. I can't be bothered to talk about individual players because it's just going to make me miserable. Because
they're all bad.
Most of them tonight I thought were garbage. Lacazette I thought was good, you know, with what he could do. I thought Nketiah was good when he came on.
Wobi had moments.
And Wobi had moments. At least he tried, but nothing came off. I thought Xhaka was Torreira was terrible.
You know that we're in trouble when Xhaka starts to do his long range shots after about half an hour. Oh, fucking hell. Is it bad already?
I think the thing that got us there was Mkhitaryan started it before Xhaka. Mkhitaryan had a shot in the middle of the park.
Did anyone see Mkhitaryan tonight? I mean, seriously.
I did see him trying to help Maitland-Niles out. That was the only redeeming thing I saw from him in the first half. He was tracking back and standing next to him.
No, I think I saw him pick Maitland-Niles up off the floor after Maitland-Niles had slid in to make a tackle on the two guys that he was trying to mark whilst Mkhitaryan was standing at the other end of the fucking pitch. Anyway, Danny, grab those questions.
If you're in North London now and you stick your head out the window somewhere, or if you're on the A1, you could probably hear Mustafi doing a little dance going, "Not all my fault this time." Doing a little dance, "Not all my fault."
He's in his living room doing that weird handstand.
In training, he's just going to be standing there with his arm tossed going, "You're right, lads. You fucking twats."
Ryan Rundle said he was off promoting his singing doll, that fucking Mkhitaryan doll. Miki is so weird. Right, first question then. I'll give it to you, Josh, as Danny is grabbing questions. From Mayank, how many of our players were physically fit to start this game? That is a very good question. And I want a zero and a one player particularly, which would be Lauren Koscielny. Because everyone keeps asking, when is he going to get a rest? But, you know, talk about the other players as well. But
yeah, I thought he broke his back at one point.
Oh, yeah, that was horrendous.
He came clattering down, and it was... I was just thinking, it took me back to the third Batman film where Bane breaks Christian Bale's back. I expected to just throw Koscielny down a hole for 3 months and wait for him to climb his way back out. Yeah, I think in terms of... were players physically fit to start the game? I think so. I can't think of anybody that's carrying a knock. Torreira's been slowly getting minutes back. Socrates hasn't played because he's been suspended. So in terms of being game fit, he might not necessarily be at that point, but I think he should still be match fit at that point. Maitland-Niles, Monreal, I think it's the damning indictment of that we couldn't blame any of these players for carrying knocks. We were that bad and everybody was fit.
Yeah. and again, I will keep saying it because we never do give the other team any credit, but Wolves were very good. But we were...
We played into their hands perfectly. Yeah, you know, they thrive on limited possession and they were just... You know when Liverpool were rubbish, but had actually quite a good pressing at the top end of the field under Brendan Rodgers? Brendan, what's his face? Who's the rookie? David Brent.
Yeah.
David Brent Rodgers. That kind of, they would get you high up the field and that's where they create their opportunities. They don't really build from the back. It is just we're smash and grab. And we played into their hands completely.
I'm going to ask you a really complicated question now, Josh, but don't carpenter the shit out of it. I'll just remember because I was going to ask this.
Okay.
So, Wolves have this set system and they play it really, really well. There's no denying they've obviously got talented players. But if you look at our team compared to theirs, you would say individually our players have more talent. So is tonight's game indicative of the fact that the system is more important than the individual talent of the players and they're actually understanding it. Because Wolves, all the Wolves players knew, like, they knew exactly what they were doing. And I think some players, not just tonight, but throughout our season, whether we played a back four or a back three, have looked slightly confused about what they're doing or where they're supposed to be going or who they're picking up.
Yeah, I think that's the difference of looking at a team that is well established in their system and a team that is new, basically. It's got brand new manager in there. Bearing in mind, take out, I think, I'm going to have to run through quickly, three of those players from that Wolves side, and you've got the starting 11 that kept a clean sheet against Man City in the Cup last season.
Yeah.
And they were a championship side. You've also got Ruben Neves in there, who walks into our midfield on a fucking red carpet. He's that good a player. And to be honest, in terms of how good they've been this season, they're fullbacks again. Doherty, it was 8 goals and 7 assists this season. We haven't got wingers with that stats. Mesut Ozil doesn't have those stats.
Yeah.
And he's our most creative player. Yeah, even the Nelson over in Hoffenheim, you know, our Lord and Saviour out there in Germany, doesn't have those stats.
Shitbag.
Doherty is having an insane season. And then you've got Johnny on the other side, who, again, probably gets in ahead of Klasinic.
Yeah.
So they do have players. And this is the kind of thing where I've been saying about, you know, the defenders. We don't need to go out and spend £90 million on Virgil van Dijk or 50, 60, 70 million on Koulibaly. They've got Connor Cody, who was a dropout from Liverpool's academy as a central defensive midfielder. Willy Bolly, who's about 104 and came from France.
Who, by the way, looks like he could walk into most defences in the Premier League this season with his performances.
And then Bennett, who is another championship player.
Yeah.
You know, that defence probably costs less than Kolasinac and he was free. That's how cheap that defence is. So I think that's the kind of thing we're looking at there. It is certainly the system. And with these players in form, yeah. I was thinking if we match them up like for like, half of them get into our side easily.
Fair enough. Danny, one for you. Michael Hanneman asks, what do our defenders even do? 3 goals today against us today, and they were all avoidable.
I think I have noticed over the season, it's almost game to game now. 5 at the back, 3 at the back, 4 at the back. Moving backwards and forwards, different combinations. There's no continuity. And I know it's like when we do podcasts, if we've done a show yesterday and we're doing another show the next day, and it's the same kind of people. Although you all know each other, you build up a rapport and you know what people are going to do. And that's one, people don't realise how hard it is to do a podcast where you don't talk over each other, because we're all friends and we all know each other. We're all in chat groups. We all talk after the shows and stuff like that. And some of you have all met up about me, because no one likes me other than Canadian Jeff. You build a kind of continuity, a thing where everybody knows what's going to happen. I mean, like Tony Adams, when you look back at the day, the glory days of when Arsenal were brilliant, you could pick the back four all the time. And when George Graham was there, we were playing 3 at the back in the later time room. You knew who was going to play there. Now from game to game, you don't know whether it's going to be Monreal left back, centre back, whether it's going to be, I'm not going to list all the combinations because you all know the combinations. I think that's a lot of the problem, that people don't know, and you're not building that solidity that you would expect to with players that have been playing at the club forever, for a long time together. And yeah, it's not really so many games in such a short length of time. That's a major problem. It's like you were saying, Koscielny, what has he played 5 games in a row now? That's unbelievable.
It is, yeah.
Oh, this is going to end up ruining players. And if we don't win the Europa League after all this effort and grief they've put us through, and you, dear viewer and listener, I mean, you've had to put up with this grief all season. If we don't get Champions League football next season, it's going to be the same old shit next season as it's been this season.
To be honest, Danny, with whether or not we want Champions League football, do you fancy going up against a Champions League side?
Benfica. Porto down.
Exactly.
Planetly or something like that. Yeah, sure.
We'll be in pot one or two if we do get back in. So
I think
pot two, wouldn't we?
Yeah, so, our best way to do it would be to win Europa League, and I think we then go in pot one.
Oh, there you go. So technically, we should at least be able to get out of a group.
I'd rather we finish third and go back into Europa League, because at least we then miss the horrible group stages and you go straight into knockouts.
Yeah. Hey!
Yeah.
So we can lose away to Rennes. Right, we're going to whip through some more questions before we wrap up. Junior going to ask, I'll take this one. Do Arsenal lack backbone and courage to reach top four? We constantly fail to capitalise when given an opportunity to close the gap and give away stupid chances regularly. We're a top 10 standard team. I don't agree that we're a top 10 team. I do think, you know, we are a top six as it is now established. It wouldn't surprise me if Wolves make it almost a top seven next season. I do think you have to take into account the likes of Wolves, Watford, Everton, although they've had a hit and miss season and they did, you know, drop off a little bit for a while, are actually better teams than they used to be. So the league is hard.
Good at home.
But we're definitely lacking something on the pitch at times. I still think we need a real leader on the pitch that isn't always there. Our heads do drop. It's not that we missed Aaron Ramsey tonight. We obviously did. But what we miss is anyone to run beyond the striker and try and create space, especially when you've got one guy up front on his own playing against three very good centre-backs who all know their position and all know the system really well and are covered by their teammates very well. And a hard team to break down, Wolves. But yeah, look, at the moment, the only thing we can say is at least that, you know, United and Chelsea also apparently don't want to finish in top four. So that might help us out. Danny, Chris Baird asks, what do we do now, lads? Do we go all out, play our best team in Europe and forget about the league?
I was looking at the current league form. Tottenham have, in the last six games, Spurs have lost three, Chelsea have lost two, we've lost three, Man United lost four. Although, I like the title of this week's podcast, nobody wants top four because they're all falling over each other. I mean, that is 13 losses in the last six games for the top for the middle four teams. That's unbelievable. No one is having a decent run together. If we would have won against Palace, we'd be going, oh, it's all back on again, and we could have got a draw tonight. And everyone is falling over each other. And I know Spurs are now the greatest team in the world because they're undefeated for the entire history they've been at their stadium, or conceded a goal. Yeah, because that's worth mentioning this after four bloody games. But it's going to be hard. But I think with Man United losing, and with Chelsea drawing, and with us losing, I think Spurs have now got third place. I mean, they're going to be aiming for that Champions League. That's what they're going to have their main eye on now. So it's fourth place is between Chelsea and us. I think Man United are screwed. They have now lost three out of their last four Premier League games. Ollie is drunk at the wheel. And yeah, it's between us and Chelsea. And I don't think Chelsea are doing very good because like Paul Hawksby, or was it Andy Jacobs? One of the two said on TalkSport today, I'd miss the next 2.5 hours of this show just so I could drive Sari to the airport.
There you go. You heard that. Don't drink drive.
They also play each other at the weekend.
What, United?
Chelsea United.
Yeah.
Weekend. We can...
Well, we're losing to Leicester.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody is so bad in this top four, I wouldn't be surprised if both teams lost that game.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more questions. We've got to speed up the answers. Dom Lai asks, should we consider playing our youngsters for the rest of the season and let the likes of Nketiah gain some momentum and confidence for next season? Surely we're not good enough for Champions League just yet. Josh?
No, I wouldn't necessarily throw the league. I think we need to keep some of the senior players about at the moment. It could be the case where we start dropping players that we don't think will be with us next season.
It's only three games to go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only three games to go. And we also, I think we need to keep these players kind of ticking over if we're going to start progressing through the Europa League.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, after the season ends, it's then a two-week gap until the Europa League final.
If we get to the final.
Yeah. I mean, it just means it's a two-week break before we all turn on our TVs again.
Good point. Ryan Rundle asked, what does Unai need to do to change the fragile mentality at the club? I think it's not simple, but I think one of the big things will be certain players out of the squad and other players in.
Win a trophy as well, John.
Yeah, that'd be, I mean, if we win the Europa League, that is a big one.
If you look back at the, sorry, this Mike Carpenter as well. If we look at the FA Cup sides, all the key players from our FA Cup wins we won't have any of them.
Yeah,
at the beginning of next season. Giroud's gone, Ramsey's gone, Santi's gone, Per retired. Alexis went. To be fair, that's probably for a good thing that Alexis went. And then Rob Holding's injured from that kind of back thing. We've got Koscielny. And then the two players that we've kind of got left that were consistent, Mustafi was in that season, and Mesut Ozil. And two of them won the World Cup.
And Per's already kind of shot.
And Per said, you know, once they won the World Cup, he couldn't get up for it anymore.
Yeah.
But at least he had age on his side and he could retire quick. He had an excuse. Those guys were 25. They couldn't retire. And they lost that kind of fire in their belly.
It's like when a woman meets me. She's not going to get any better. Neil Vergara asks, should we sell players like Mickey and Iwobi and buy someone like Jota or Fraser, Danny?
Well, this is showing that this is not working, is it? Mickey has to go. The amount of money that he's on, although I'm not going to let money bug me anymore, but he's on too much money. But for the amount of output he put, I would rather see that loser from Germany come back and play rather than Mickey. Mickey's had that one good game against Everton, and then we should have sold him immediately after, because he's never good getting better than that. He's had, I think, a couple of decent games. And Iwobi, I keep Iwobi because I think he's a great impact sub.
Okay. We'll do some quick fire ones now. Quick one from Ryan Randall again for you, Danny. Does the fake fire make you feel warmer, yes or no?
It makes me feel moist on the inside.
There you go. See, all those donations are going towards Danny getting a real fire. My Bullet says, if United want to sell any of their players this summer for cheap, which player would you like us to try to buy, but not really buy because we dilly-dally too much? Josh, who would you buy if they were going to sell?
From Man United?
Yeah.
Oh, good question.
And Herrera is available on a free.
Yeah, he is. So is Juan Mata.
Yeah.
Anthony Martial's too busy looking after his alimony payments.
Learning new dance moves.
Rashford would be a good shout, but then I'm going to irritate Steve. Jesse Lingard.
Pogba. What's good that?
Yeah. Lord, there we go. Right, we'll move on very quickly before Steve kills Josh. Yeah.
he will.
Oh, God, I had some other questions here and I'm fucking losing it. Where did I get my curtains from, Ben Murphy? I have no idea. I can't remember. I don't even think I bought them. It might be an ex-girlfriend or something. Oh, never know. Fly KJ, we've gone completely off topic. Surprise.
Are you reading these from our chat box?
Yes, I'm reading from the chat box and the other chat box.
Asking.
Yeah, I know. Do you think we're going to win the Europa after another shit performance tonight? Also, our fourth place Wolves falling off our bus. Fourth place is going to be difficult. Quick round table. Do you think we'll win the Europa League? Danny?
Yes. Look at our performances against Napoli.
Fair enough. Josh?
I agree with Danny.
I'm more confident for the Europa League just because we've got the home leg first. So we're really good at home. We suck away, but hopefully we'll get it done in the home leg. This is a really long question from Stan the Man. What is the panel's opinion of Unai Emery, excuse me, thus far? In my opinion, if he gets top four or win the Europa League, he's had an amazing season. If he finishes, you know, fifth or sixth and just misses out on top four and we don't get any further than the semis, I still think he's actually done quite well with the squad, to be perfectly honest. Josh?
Josh.
Go on.
No, I'll say we've seen lots of stuff this season that has given us lots of confidence for next season.
Yeah.
I would say, what's my opinion of Emery so far? It's one of those that I'm not sure if Emery is a bad manager or the squad's bad, if you know what I mean. There's some decisions that I'm like, that's weird, but it's also like, oh, but is it the players? It's that kind of thing with the, you know, same issue United's got. Was Jose actually a bad manager or just those players bad? Because Ollie's getting a similar tune out of them that Jose did. Next season when he gets another chance, we said it would take him a couple of windows, and now suddenly a lot of people seem to be going back on that decision that we'll give him a couple of windows. But yeah, I think this thing needs to be a clean out. We need to sort that mentality out. And if we win a trophy this season, I think we'll see a different squad, just in terms of the personnel might be the same, but there'll be a new fight in them.
Cars and coffee stories. How do we manage to challenge for top four with this squad? Honestly, I think it's a case of the squad isn't as bad as everyone thinks. Yes, there are problems and there are flaws in it, but you also have to look at the fact that United are in a massive transition period. Chelsea are also in a transition period, and they've got a manager who, if they stick with, would be good for them long term, but they're not that sort of club, and they've got the transfer problems. And Spurs are, Spurs, and it's quite clear how far away Liverpool and City are from the rest of the pack. What have we got? Two more questions and then we're done. Russ Morgan, if there was a gun to your head, which of Lacazette or Alba would you get rid of? Aubameyang. Danny, who would you get rid of?
Aubameyang.
Josh?
I don't need a gun to my head. Aubameyang.
Feisty. And one last question from Dean Stanley, who apparently is Danny's mate for the last 30-odd years. I don't know how Danny's managed to keep a friend that long.
He doesn't come round, but I did bump into him in B&Q the other day, and he told me he has 137 pairs of trainers.
He's lying. Not Danny's mate. Danny didn't bump into him. He doesn't go out. What brand of gravy does Sam Allardyce enjoy swinging the most? The only one I can think of is Bisto.
I'll be Tesco's own. He's a frugal man.
Oh, there you go. Josh?
Yeah, is that or Asda? I think he's more of an Asda man.
Yeah, I could see Allardyce in an Asda rather than a...
The thing is, he'd drink it straight out of the granule packet.
Oh, he wouldn't even mix it. He'd just use his own saliva from all the chewing gum.
But if Sam's watching and he wants a bulk buy gravy, go to Lidl in Nottingham and see Sian, and she'll give you 10% off.
Thank you, Chatbox, for getting us to over 100 likes. Thank you very much for that. Well done. Give yourselves a little round of applause. Right, that's it. We're not going to do any more questions because me and Josh have got to go to work tomorrow. Danny has got other things to do. It will just leave me to say before we go, thank you to Danny's going to check where I've got everyone's name. J-Rob, Yvonne, Blair Slater, Dom Lloyd, Ryan Rundle, and Richard Morris. Murray? I got someone's name horribly wrong. I'm sorry.
Richard Morris did it twice. Dan Fry.
Oh, Dan Fry as well. See?
J-Rob.
Yeah, I got J-Rob. Thank you. Yeah, got that. Yeah, always all of them. So it was just Dan Fry. I'm sorry, Dan Fry. You're not forgotten. Apologies. Yeah, that's it. So thank you, Danny, for coming on.
Cheers, John, for stepping in for Jason. Maybe if he'll see that we've got 107 likes, that you lot have sorted your lives out, he might be back.
If you tickle the like button a little bit more, you might be able to get him back. Josh, thank you as always.
It's been great. Chatbox, if you can get that up to 150, we guarantee Jace won't be back.
And thank you, Chatbox, as well. You've been brilliant tonight. You always cheer us up.
Been a good laugh.
Thank you to everyone who is not listening or watching live and you're listening later. Apologies for all the little bits in between when we talk to Chatbox. I know it's frustrating if you're listening later because you don't quite get the same interaction. But it's not all over yet. We've still got semi-final to go. There's three more games to go. We can still do it. Chelsea and United might kill each other at the weekend and then it'll be fine and we'll all be okay. So top four is still on. We can still do it. Danny, turn us off.